guys, more teeth.
They're burying us alive!
Eddie Shore?
Oh, piss on Eddie Shore!
Old-time hockey?
Piss on old-time hockey! You're blowing it!
And now, Between the Stammers, your unofficial Canucks cast. Here's Art and Caleb.
Hello, hello, it's Between the Stammers. Art Aronson alongside Caleb Kirby on this Thursday. It is May 16th. The NHL playoffs continue, despite all these terrible calls. The Canucks, the draft lottery tickets have been on sale now, or are going on sale. We know when they're going to go on. There's been a lot of talk about Brock Besser's contract this last week. Not a whole lot of Canuck news other than that, but the NHL is getting a lot of talk, obviously, for their officiating over the last few games or so. So I think we just start there. Specifically in the San Jose Sharks series with the St. Louis Blues, they just played Game 3, pivotal Game 3, and the St. Louis Blues are pissed.
Yeah, man. They're choked.
So if you didn't see it, the final goal, the overtime goal, was clearly a hand pass before Erik Karlsson scored. Timo Meier just kind of like batted it in the air, right to Erik Karlsson, and boom, that was the end of the game.
Yeah. Well, it was like Timo Meier batted it while he was kind of tripped.
Yeah.
And going down, and then it hit Gustav Nyquist, who fed it to Karlsson. Karlsson jars it behind Binnington. Everyone on the ice is pissed. Binnington snaps, right? Cool, calm, collected Binnington goes and he's like skating up to the refs, slapping his stick against the glass. Like, they kind of got robbed on this one.
Yeah, I was watching and the Blues didn't want to leave the ice. Yeah. They were like, they refused to leave the ice. And I mean, they were right. But this again brings into question how things are officiated. It doesn't, not just hockey, it's every sport. It's anytime there's a fast moving object. You know, and, you know, things are on the line. Like, I don't know what the answer is. Like, and this is strange. Everybody looks at this one strange because you can review all sorts of things, but you can't review this. This was an unreviewable call because it wasn't goaltender interference. For whatever reason, you're allowed to review goaltender interference, but you can't really review anything else. Unless there's a coach's challenge.
No, you can't.
I don't even think you can. Yeah,
you can't review this one, with a coach's challenge.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing that bugs me. And like we've talked about replay being like a fucking annoyance in all of sports, every sport, right? But replay on a goal, we talked about this too. Like, did the puck cross the goal line? Is that definitive? Yes, that should be reviewable. And I agree with that. I think there should be reviews on puck crossing the line that should be definitive. I'm almost now slowly moving into the camp of like maybe a goal should be reviewed if it's a definitive action, right? So like, was there a hand pass to cause a goal? Yeah, the goal should be reviewed. It was clearly definitive that Meier fucking swatted this puck over, and that was the cause of this play working out the way it did.
It wasn't even like a pass before the pass. It was a direct hand pass.
Right? We're talking about people reviewing of whether something was kicked in. This is the exact same fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, so yeah, this should be reviewed. Fucking goaltender interference can take a hike because of how subjective it is. It's the dumbest shit, you know, but plays like this that have definitive motions and consequences to cause a goal in the playoffs, to cost you a fucking game in the playoffs, you know, when you're in the Western Conference Final, for sure it should be reviewed. And it's a joke. And I mean, like, everybody's weighing in on it in the league. And I agree with certain things when it comes to replay. I think replay can get out of hand real quick, right? Like, in this same game, I forget who it was, but it was a St. Louis player, fucking wraps the puck around his own boards, puck goes up into the netting. Right, should have been a delay of game penalty. Refs missed it. Joe Thornton's losing his shit. He's got his hand up above his head like he's lassoing something, and they missed the call. Whatever, you miss that, that's fine. But this, a direct goal, like, yeah, it should probably be reviewed.
Yeah, but for me, it goes down the rabbit hole of we're gonna get to a place where everything is reviewed. Everything. It's gonna happen in every sport, and everything is reviewed. And the games are going to take forever, and it's going to drive me nuts.
But that's my issue. That's why I think they should shit can fucking goaltender interference, subjective bullshit.
It's not going to happen.
Shit can that. Yeah. And if it's something that's clearly definitive in a scoring play, I think it should be reviewed. And I think it should be up to a coach's challenge. A coach should be able to challenge a play like this, and this play should probably be overturned.
You think there should be coaches' challenges at all? I don't even think there should be coaches' challenges.
I'd prefer not.
Yeah.
I'd prefer not.
But we're not going back.
Yeah, we're not going back.
Yeah, I don't think we ever go back. It's always more, more, more.
I fucking hate replay. I hate the damage it causes. But, like, in this case, like, what is going on with the Sharks right now? They just seem to be getting all the luck. You know, Martin Jones was a sieve yesterday. Like, a fucking sieve. That Tarasenko goal was, like, he should have had that.
Yeah.
And then that one clapper that went by him on the fucking left side, I forget who bombed that one in, but that was a joke of a goal, too. And somehow they're winning games.
Logan Couture is why they're winning games.
Well, Logan Couture is clutch as fuck right now, and he's probably, like, front runner for MVP of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, the Pavelski thing that happened to get that fucking five-minute major where San Jose jars four on the Vegas Knights to bury them, it just seems like they're the team of destiny right now. And it's by this type of bullshit. Remember? It's not even officiating. It's just, like, it's everything culminating.
Remember when the Sharks beat Vegas in that ridiculous way?
Fuck.
I remember saying, I think I don't know if I said it to you, but right afterwards I was like, the Sharks are going to go to the finals now.
Yeah, you did
like,
say
it
that
was just, like,
you
it was just so crazy that I was like, that's the type of, you know, sequence of actions that propels a team forward.
Yeah, you did say that to me because it seems like we hang out at every single waking moment of our life, right? We were in Fistry. We were watching that game.
Okay.
After baseball practice.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's right. Okay. The Bruins are getting calls, too. You got to be so lucky to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, I think. You know, everything has to go right for you.
Yeah.
You can't it's not just about being the better team. It's about getting the right calls. It's about being healthy.
Yes.
It's about getting all these bounces. And right now, the Sharks are getting these bounces. Like crazy bounces. These are two huge calls or non-calls that have affected the San Jose Sharks run, and they're going to the finals.
So do you think that the officiating this year has been worse than previous years?
No.
You don't?
No.
I kind of do.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. I think there's just too many calls that, like, look like fucking obvious ones that they've kind of blown. And they're bigger. Maybe they're just bigger mistakes by the officials. Like, the calls have had more consequences to them. So maybe, like, I still think the NHL is the best ref league in all of major sports.
Really?
I do. With this, I think maybe it's just the consequences of these missed calls or these blown calls have been bigger than in previous years.
Right.
But, I mean, everybody has had a say on this, right?
Yeah.
Like, Rod wants to fucking completely revamp replay.
Rod the Bod.
Yeah.
Rod Brendamore. Okay, we'll play his clip of how he would fix the officiating problem and the instant replay problem, I guess. I don't really agree with them, but
it's time. It's time to get the calls right because it's just too important. I mean, the games matter so much, and these, man, I don't know. That's tough last night to watch. Help the refs. These refs are great refs. Live, you can't tell. I'm telling you. So many calls I go, I don't really know. And I look down and I see, then I lose my mind because I know it was the wrong call, but they can't be expected to make those calls like that. It's way too hard. There's an easy solution for it, I think, and, you know, and they'll get to it because this can't keep going on. I mean, you know, there's my solution. You take two of the refs off the ice, put them in the penalty box, have their skates on if they want. One guy can be watching the calls. The linesman can be watching offsides. So you get them out of the way. They're getting in the way. It's hard. The game's so fast. You watch how often the puck hits them. And I mean, it's, to me, you can get these calls quickly and done right, and that's all you want as a player, as a coach, and fans. You just want to make sure you get the calls right, I think. But we'll see.
All right, Rod Brendamore, take the referees off the ice and put them in the box.
Well, he said two, but I don't completely agree with him. But I have thoughts. You want to hear them?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, like, fuck. Right now,
because I think he's completely wrong.
Well, right now there's four guys on the ice. I don't think there should be four refs on the ice. There's two linesmen, one official referee. I think one of the official referees needs to go, because it always seems like when there is a bad call, it's from that guy who's at like fucking center who's calling a penalty in the corner. I don't think that guy should be on the ice. So I think you have one ref, you have your two linesmen, then you have more space for the players on the ice. You have less ref interference along the boards when people are around. And then you have a person up top, up in the skybox, looking at shit, right? That ref on the ice, he has a headset on, and it's like, okay, I see something here. Fucking call this penalty.
Right.
Right? That ref calls that penalty, and it looks like that ref knew what he was doing. Everything is fine. Toronto can still be fucking Toronto that they rely on to do all the replay bullshit, even though I think that that's garbage. But I think that's a way to kind of clean this up a little bit.
Yeah.
What about you?
I just don't. Yeah, I do agree with taking one of those refs off. Four refs is too many. That's ridiculous. I think we all need to realize, everybody in sports media, that there's going to be mistakes.
Yeah.
Even at the highest level, at the most important game, that's part of gamesmanship. That's just part of the game. You get the call sometimes, you don't get the call the other times. So getting all pissed off about every call, and I know how St. Louis feels, right?
Yeah, well, it of course sucks. We know, yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. But that's just part of sports. Shit's going to go wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not a solution, but that's a frame of mind going into it.
Yeah, but you want to fine-tune it the best possible way to eliminate these kind of mistakes. Like, I understand where you're coming from, and I know that that is part of the game, and it'll always be part of the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you can just shrug your shoulders and go, what the fuck are you going to do? What are you going to do? But, like...
Well, we used to have a time, Kirby, where the refs had no power to change anything.
Yeah.
There was instant replay, and like, fuck, we fucked it. Well, there's nothing we can do about
it. Yeah, but...
Moving forward, right?
But with how technology has changed today...
Yeah.
Which technology has definitely affected the game more so than it ever has before. And for some reason, they still can't figure out with our technology if there's a fucking... You know, to figure out if somebody's offside, to put a camera on the fucking blue line directly. It's still off for some reason. But anyways, like, when everybody else in the rink sees it, you know, because they put it up on the giant scoreboard.
Yeah, it's a problem.
And then the ref goes, well, I didn't see it. It's a problem. People lose their shit. And I totally get that, right? So they need to figure out ways to dial this in the best they possibly can. They don't need to add another guy on the ice. They need to fucking get rid of one of those guys on the ice and have a guy reviewing from somewhere else, in my opinion.
Yeah. Rod, I get it. I understand about trying to get everything right. It's too important. They'll figure it out. No, we're not always going to get everything right.
Well, they're not always going to get everything
right. Yeah.
Remember back in 04? You know, the crease?
Yeah.
Like, the ultimate fucking thing about, you know, who was it who was in the crease for...
Brett Hall.
Yeah, Brett Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the game-winning goal.
Yeah.
like... And that was in 2004. That was like 1999 or 2000.
Yeah.
And that was the goal that decided it. All year long, we had called if anybody was in the crease, no goal.
Yeah.
And then on the goal that wins the Stanley Cup, the guy who scores, it's in the crease.
What was the one that the Flames got fucking hosed on in 04? They got hosed on one too. Mm. It was like, it was a goal that was in, but then they said it wasn't in.
Yeah.
Against Tampa. Anyways, this shit happens all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Right?
But that's part of it. It's part of the game.
It's part of it.
I feel like it's part of the game.
I get that. Yeah. But it's just, it needs to be dialed in a little bit better.
Yeah. And I understand hockey's a controlled environment. It's in an arena. You see it from every angle now. Technology this, technology that. The game is just already, it's very coached. Everything's so coached. And now we're going to get the refereeing just dialed, too. And it's just, it makes my head boil.
Well, like, one of my favorite things about hockey, like, by far and away, is it has flow to it, right? It's a fast game with flow. There's no real interruptions and stuff like that. And if we start doing too many of these challenges and too many of these replays, it's going to disrupt the overall pace and flow of how a game is. And I hate, like, nothing pisses me off more than watching a game where refs are fucking blowing the whistles every 20 seconds, handing out penalties, reviewing shit, not dropping the puck on a face-off because the face-off isn't dialed in enough. Like, I hate it when a referee makes a game about him. And if we start getting to too many of these replays, I feel like that could happen. The only thing that, like, I really think needs to be addressed is if something is a definitive goal or not. And the hand pass in this case is one of those things.
Yeah. I don't know where we're going with this, but actually, I do know where we're going. What am I saying? We're going to replay everything. That's what we're going to do. It's going to be, everything's going to be replay. That's where we're going with this.
Well,
in every sport.
It's like the pendulum, though, right? It always swings too far one way before people start fucking dialing it back again. So maybe it needs to swing that way. Maybe it needs to swing harsher towards shit getting replayed so much, and then fans are going to be like, this is fucking ridiculous. I don't want to watch this.
Well,
and
in the CFL, that's what
And then
what
maybe
happened.
It swings back. Yeah, CFL, perfect example.
Yeah, the new commissioner came in and took out different challenges, and said,
they had
you can't
pass
do this,
interference
you do that.
Challenges in that league.
I know.
And now the NFL is going to do that.
Probably, yeah.
So, like, yeah, we'll probably see that pendulum swing back over that way.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Bill Belichick, the greatest coach in sports right now, said this. He was like, I think everything should be challenged. Yeah. He said every. I was like, great, Bill. I want to watch a five-hour game.
Fucking I heard Pierre say it on a hockey broadcast the other night. He was saying the exact same thing. He was like, everything should be challenge review, penalties and shit.
Yeah.
And people were talking about the Pavelski thing, how that should have been reviewed because, like, really, it wasn't a penalty. Like, Pavelski kind of fell in, like, an unfortunate circumstance, and it cost Vegas the series.
Yeah.
But if you do that, it's going to get out of fucking hand really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It also gives us something to talk about in the media. It gives us something to remember series and games by. So that's why, that's another reason why I don't want to go down this rabbit hole. I want to be the guy that remembers Brett Hall and the crease.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
I want those things. It's part of the game.
No, I'm with you too. Like,
it's gamesmanship.
There's nothing better. Well, I wouldn't call it gamesmanship, but
it's a part of it.
Yeah, it's a part of the game.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's a part of sports.
The thing is,
I got called out at home plate this week in our softball game.
Yeah.
I was pissed.
Yeah. No, and it's like it. And sports bars are kind of dying, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, in earlier days, sitting in a sports bar, and I'd see a play on the fucking TV, and I'd be like, "This is fucking bullshit. I hate this." And then buddy beside me, who I wouldn't even know, he'd be like, "Nah, that's the right call. That's the good call." And I'd, like, fucking hate the guy beside me who's drinking his little beer with a fucking orange in it, right? And I'd be like, "This pussy fucking guy. He thinks that's the right call. That's a bullshit call." Just getting all mad. And because there wasn't as much replay in sports back then, you know, it either build a friendship with somebody you might not know, or it might fucking put you over the moon about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I kind of like that. It creates conversation.
That's what I mean.
Right?
It creates
yeah.
controversy.
Yeah, creates controversy, creates conversation. But now we're having controversy and conversation about whether things should be fully reviewed or not anyway.
Yeah,
so, I mean, there's
true.
Always going to be conversation.
That's true.
We're always going to create it, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess that's true.
But, yeah, I mean, fuck. Like, there was the other thing this week. Can we get into this? The yeah. Brian Burke suspension thing?
So, Charlie McAvoy was suspended for the first game of the Eastern Conference Final because of a hit that he made in the second round.
Yeah, I think it was Cam Atkinson.
Was it Cam Atkinson? Okay.
Or
yeah.
it was one of
oh,
those.
Oh, no, it was Anderson.
It was
Anderson.
Yes.
Josh Anderson.
That's
right.
Exactly who it was. Yeah.
And he only got one game, and that kind of like...
And it was a headshot.
Yeah, and people were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Right? The Bruins again, right?
Yeah.
They get on the better end of the suspension call.
So Berkey goes on a bit of a ramble here, and it's a bit hard to understand, but we'll break it down for you after.
Fans understand, and I don't think player safety explains adequately how games are weighted in the playoffs. So someone will say, the regular season, they gave four games for that. In the first round of the playoffs, under the system that I used, that started using and they still use, the games are weighted at two or three to one. So if you're going to give a one-game suspension on game 82, now, if say it was a three-game suspension, that's a one-game suspension in the first round. it might be a 6-game suspension turns into a 2-game suspension in the second round. Now you're in the third round. And in the finals, we used to use a factor of 6 to 8 games per game. So wow. Claude Lemieux, his suspension was 2 games in the finals. That would have been a 16 to 20 game suspension in the regular season. So you see a couple of these. This is the Lemieux suspension, which is a vicious hit from behind. People are saying it should be 20, it should be 15. It was. It was 2 games in the finals. So I wish fans would understand it, and I wish player safety would explain it better. These games count more than regular season games. This is the right call for Charlie McAvoy.
Okay, so short answer is kind of the end of that clip where he's saying that these games matter more than games in the playoffs and that the call for McAvoy's hit was the right call.
So according to him, that was a 6-game suspension.
Yes, and well, yeah. And here's the thing with Burke is that Burke was one of the guys who brought this to the league and the league adopted it, right? So he's talking about the first round of the playoffs. If you get suspended for 1 game in the playoffs, that's the equivalent to a 2 to 3 game suspension in the regular playoffs, right? You get to the second round, you get, 2 games in the playoffs. That's equated to like a 6-game suspension in the regular season. Then you get to the third round, and the finals. And basically, if you get a game in the third round or the finals, that's like the equivalent to anywhere between a 6 to 8 game suspension in the regular season.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Which, okay, yeah, fair enough. I mean, everybody's going for the cup. But, there is an exception. And I got to point this out because I'm a little fucking pissed off about this.
Here we go.
And I'm not the guy who originally pointed this out. I got to give full marks to Mike Usinger from the Georgia Strait. He brought this up. He wrote a really good article on this at the end of last week. And he was talking about in 2011... Aaron Rome on Nathan Horton.
Here we go.
You remember this?
I saw this coming, yep. Oh, I remember.
Stanley Cup final?
Yeah, I remember the hit very clearly.
Fucking a bit of a late hit.
It was a little late.
Right?
Yeah.
Horton goes down. Basically, Horton's kind of finished after that. He already had his problems, with concussions and everything else earlier. But, he gets a 4-game suspension in the Stanley Cup finals when the Canucks are already just fucking riddled on the back end with D-men.
Mm-hmm.
By Berkey's logic that he just laid out here, this 4-game suspension is anywhere in the regular season, if this were to happen, between 24 games and 32 games for that late hit.
Yeah.
Does the punishment fit the crime?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
It's not even fucking close.
Yeah, it doesn't. And I hate talking about that Aaron Rome hit. I hate it with a passion. But yes, I agree. The punishment did not fit the crime.
First-time offender.
By this criteria. If this is the criteria they're going by, maybe it wasn't back then. I don't know.
No, but, this is something he said on a national broadcast.
Yeah.
So, of course, Canuck fans who remember that and who remember, how the Canucks kind of ran out of gas and a big part of that was injuries to the back end.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, fucking NHL here kind of gave the Bruins the series. This could have been the define. This was the.
Whoa.
All right.
Whoa, you just said that Aaron Rome, our last defenseman on the call sheet, going out for 4 games, was the reason the Bruins won the Stanley Cup.
Well, think about this.
Wow, you're starting to sound like someone else I know.
This is. Think about this. This is the rallying call of that series. The Canucks were up. They were up in that series before this happened.
True.
This injury happened. This hit happens. The suspension happens.
Yeah.
Fucking Bruins go on a tear. It's their rallying call. The fucking punishment didn't fit the crime. Rome should have been back at that point. Who took his place? Chris Tanev? Rookie Chris Tanev?
But who's right? Who's to say that that hit happens and he only gets 1 game? Who's to say the Bruins aren't rallied?
Nobody.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, well, fair enough. It's an okay point, but the punishment didn't fit the crime under this criteria. And if this is the only... Dude, he was talking about Claude Lemieux back in 97, fucking going after... Chris Draper, that cross-check?
Yeah.
One of, the ugliest cross-checks I've ever seen, which prompted, the best hockey fight ever.
Yeah.
In the Stanley Cups. Mike Vernon and fucking Patrick Waugh trading blows on each other, just dummying each other.
Yeah.
Like, oh...
Simpler times.
Just the bloodiest playoff. If you've never seen these playoffs, by the way, 1997.
Those playoffs were crazy.
Colorado Avalanche.
This is the height of the clutch and grab era, right?
Yeah. If you haven't seen these playoffs, man, YouTube exists. Do yourself a favor. Watch the Red Wings and the Avalanche go. I don't understand how anybody after those playoffs who isn't like a diehard Avalanche homer would like that fucking team. That team was full of rats. Like, absolutely full
Adam
of rats.
Foote, he's one of them too, that fucker.
And just Waugh. Like, Waugh was just the biggest prick. And Vernon got some shots in too.
Yeah.
But yeah, regardless of that, the Canucks got fucked. Did they not? Can you at least admit the Canucks got fucked on that call?
Oh, yeah. I still don't think it's the reason they lost the series, but yeah, sure.
It just pisses me off. Just pisses me off hearing Burke say that on a fucking national broadcast.
Who is the player, the commissioner of player safety and development at that point?
Campbell.
Was it Campbell?
Yeah. Okay. And no, Campbell.
This was pre-Mike Shanahan or Brendan Shanahan,
Campbell's,
right?
I think Campbell stepped down like almost right before that because of conflict of interest because his son was on that Bruins team.
Yeah.
Right?
And Gregory Campbell.
And then whoever.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and then somebody stepped in for that series, and then that just magically happens, right?
Yeah. Jeez.
It's a fucking joke.
You actually believe that there's bias against the Vancouver Canucks at the head office.
I just think that I just think
we're going down that rabbit hole.
I just think that is just a shining example of all that bullshit. And that was like at the height of like those Burroughs comments and controversy. Canucks were the most hated team in the NHL at that point. Really, they were.
Remember
like none of Canada even wanted to fucking support them.
So you kind of agree with Mike Gillis, what he said. The media wanted them to lose. Everybody wanted them to lose.
I'm
siding with Mike Gillis on this one. I caught you.
I just think it was a good point that this columnist, you know, Mike Usinger, he brings it up, and it was a really well written article. And I think anybody who's interested on reading more of it, go to the Georgia Strait. It's from late last week. Read about it, and it kind of puts things into perspective as far as what Burke is talking about, because this is only the one exception where this goes down.
I think, yeah, the NHL may have looked at this and be like, oh, it's Aaron Rome. He's their sixth defenseman. Let's make a fucking example out of this guy. That's what they did.
Yeah.
In the end. That's when you look at it from an outside point of view, that's what it looks like.
It's just kind of bullshit, isn't it? I know that, like, they were depleted. Ham Hughes was in trouble.
They're going to lose anyway.
Kessler ran out of gas, you know. Luongo couldn't stop a beach ball in game six, you know. But, like, fuck.
They couldn't win it on the road.
Just,
could not win
it
on
just
the road
did
series.
Seem like the turning point of the entire series.
Here we are, back to 2011. We'll be talking about this for the history of Canucks. Until they win again, we'll be talking about 2011.
Well, right? Until they make the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, until they make the Stanley Cup Final and actually
win.
There's
our best team ever, Art. I mean, of course we're going to still be talking about
it. Of course, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But hey.
We were closer to winning in 94.
It's true. We were. It felt closer, did it not?
It did feel
closer. Yeah, it felt a lot closer.
Yeah.
And it was just such a Cinderella run in 94.
Yeah. I was a lot younger then, but yeah. I do remember the excitement still. And that Game 7, I remember that game. So I'll always remember that Game 7.
Yeah.
So I try and forget.
My dad broke his recliner in that Game 7.
Wow.
He was fucking mad, and he like almost tore it in half with his hands.
Was it when Nathan Lafayette hit the post?
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
Yeah. Yes. And then my mom was just kind of like, ow! Like, yells out of us. He like fucking, he's just raw. And then I went down in my room and started crying like a little boy. Well, because I was a little boy, and I was pulling posters off the walls, just like like, they lost.
Oh, man.
And what I wouldn't give to get those posters back.
Riot in the Kirby household.
Yeah.
Riot in the Kirby
household. Riot in Kirby household. Riot in Vancouver, the first big one, yeah. You know.
Anyway, the NHL, something's going to happen with instant replay. And I don't know what's going to happen with these suspensions. Nobody's going to be happy with these suspensions. It's another thing. Someone's going to be unhappy every time.
I really do get his point here, and I think that these suspensions, like, if they would explain it, like, he didn't do a good job explaining it even on to the point.
Yeah.
But if they had, like, a graph or something to show people, like, what these suspensions are all kind of about, I think most people would be like, yeah, that's fair. This is, like, the most important time of year, and this is why these suspensions don't matter as much as the regular season.
there's two things I hate talking about the most. We've just gone over them, Kerb, in hockey. Controversial calls and controversial suspensions.
That's what we do here on Between the Stammers, though, Art. We jump in the fucking fire. We gotta. We're
I know.
Firemen.
But when I'm talking about sports in just in general, it's the last fucking thing I want to talk about.
We gotta get the hoses out, baby.
Yeah.
We gotta hose this thing off. This thing is ugly as fuck, and we need to talk about it because there's a problem here. Right? We at least need to clear it up.
There's always going to be a problem. That's my point.
Yeah.
Until the end of time, someone's going to be unhappy.
Eternal pessimist, right? And I'm right there with you in a lot of cases, especially with this Canucks thing that we just talked about ad nauseum. So why don't we move on?
You know, I go outside and the guy cuts me off while I'm trying to turn left. Like, shit. That sucks. But that's life. It happened.
Yeah.
You know?
But you're not getting a trophy for fucking driving home.
No. It's true. Anyways, I'm just saying life sucks sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm swearing a lot today. I apologize, by the way. I got to dial this language in a little bit.
Do you, though? I don't know if you do. I feel like it's okay. When you were talking about things that matter as much, like I'm surprised Rod Brendamore didn't, or actually, you know what? I didn't listen to the presser after the Blues series.
The Blues were just like so dejected. They just completely deflected the question left, right, and center.
That series is over.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that series is over.
I still think it's going to go deep, but I don't think the Blues are going to win.
No.
That's going to destroy your goalie.
Yeah. So I think both series are done. Obviously, Carolina's done.
Dude, Justin Williams, like, I've liked what he's done here, and I like the passion that he's bringing, but, like, you can't be taking the penalties, man. You can't.
Yeah, I know. Brad Marchand, we'll get the best of you.
Fuck.
He'll get the best of everybody.
What a shit rat, eh?
What a shit rat.
I'd love to have him on my team, though. I would.
He's like Claude Lemieux.
He is kind of like Claude
Lemieux. He's Claude Lemieux, but he's a better hockey player than Claude
Lemieux.
He's a
way better. But Claude Lemieux in the playoffs.
Oh, Claude Lemieux was fantastic.
Was an absolute beast.
But imagine if Claude Lemieux was like a 90 to 100 point scorer.
Oh, God.
That's pretty much what Brad Marchand
Yeah,
is.
But the thing about Claude Lemieux is Claude Lemieux was tougher, too. Like, yeah. Claude Lemieux, he'd shed him and he'd fight. But man, was he dirty.
Oh, he was dirty.
Seriously, watch that 97 playoff. Like, you got to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just incredible.
Not just that play, but the 98, I think it was the one that they beat Philly in the final.
Was that 98?
I think that's 97, actually. And that was 98.
Yeah.
The one we were just Colorado.
No, the one that we were talking about was 97. But it was Western Conference final because it was.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's the same. That's the same
Detroit
playoff.
Was
that's
in
right.
the West at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember the final.
Yeah.
Eric Lindros made. The Philadelphia Flyers made it to the Stanley Cup final that year. And I was actually cheering because Detroit won.
Yeah.
And I was actually cheering for Eric Lindros.
Really?
Yeah, in Philadelphia.
Even though
I shouldn't have been, but I don't know why I was. I liked Eric Lindros.
That made me like Detroit. Like, that cemented Detroit as, like, a team I'll always, like, kind of cheer for on
really?
The side.
Yeah. I didn't start cheering
Stevie
for
Stevie Eiserman too, man. What an absolute stud.
Yeah. I actually, to be honest with you, it was too fresh in my mind. I love Steve Eiserman, but I still couldn't cheer for Detroit. When I started cheering for Detroit was when they made back-to-back against Pittsburgh. And I watched that team. And
I was cheering for that team too.
This team's incredible. And how, like, I love the way they played. I like the players on the team. That's when I really started cheering for Detroit.
Speaking of officiating, that second Stanley Cup series, I remember 2009, I was blaming the refs for that one, too.
I was, too.
Against the Penguins there, when Crosby was just whining. He'd whine after every single fucking whistle in that series.
I remember that Detroit had the puck the entire series, and somehow they lost.
Yeah.
They had the puck the entire series.
Yeah, they were the better team.
Barring on the better team, Marc-Andre Fleury played out of his mind.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, Pittsburgh scored on the power plays that they got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were handed out like fucking Halloween candy to them.
They were. Yeah. Halloween candy.
I just remember that was when I was doing my Sidney Crosby, Gary Bettman impression when you call him on the phone. He'd be like, Gary, it happened again. You know? Gary's like, fucking Holmstrom, give him 2 minutes. Give Holmstrom 2 minutes. Holmstrom. He's in the earpiece, you know.
Holmstrom was a beast. Fuck that guy in front of the net. So we think Boston and San Jose is going through. If that's the case, then half of our predictions right. One half yours.
Yeah, one half.
Mine.
Yeah, that's 100%. We're batting 100.
Yeah, who are you
between the Stammers? We could be batting 200, but we're batting 100.
All right with that.
Yeah.
Okay with that. Who would you pick in that series then? If it was Boston, San
Boston. Jose? I'm still gonna go Boston.
You're still gonna go Boston.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. How about? But
you're still going San Jose?
Yeah, I think I have to.
Yeah. We say this every week.
We do. How about Joe Thornton? How about that storyline? Joe Thornton against Boston. That's pretty decent.
That's awesome. That's a great storyline.
I was watching the other night. I was just thinking earlier this playoff. I'm like, I always thought Joe Thornton's never been a great skater.
No.
But it really shows now that he's not. You know, he's getting older and he's not a good skater. But he fucking scored 2 goals the other night.
The first time he's ever done that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's nuts. How does that happen? Too.
Well, he's so big.
He's big.
He's so big, but he's so Charmin ultra soft out there sometimes.
You hate him.
I don't hate him. I remember when people compared him to Bertuzzi, when they were both power forwards back in those days, and everybody's like, oh, Jumbo Joe and Bertuzzi, the two best power forwards in the game. I'm like, okay, one is fucking tough. The other guy is a bit of a muffin.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. Joe has never shown me that he's not a bit of a muffin out there. He shies away from contact.
But he's a fucking smart hockey player.
Oh, he's insanely smart.
Yeah.
And he's one of the greatest hockey players of all time. His numbers will show he's one of the greatest of all time. But if you don't have that sandpaper element, I'm not going to be a big fan of yours.
Yeah.
I love guys who can crash and bang.
Sure. But it also takes a bit of crazy to crash and bang. That's why Todd Bertuzzi was crazy.
Hockey, but that's you got to be a little bit crazy to get in that rink.
You do.
You know?
You do indeed. Other NHL news that happened this week, I guess this happened last week, though. Ken Holland going to Edmonton. Oiler fans pretty happy about that one, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, the writing was on the wall, I guess, for Ken Holland when Steve Yzerman came back into town.
I wasn't sure if it was, though. I thought Holland might have just moved to a different position, but I guess Stevie Y just took the keys and ran with it.
Yeah, fuck off, Ken Holland.
Yeah. I think he's going to – I think Stevie's going to rebuild that team.
When you look at Ken Holland, though, this guy's got a fucking great resume.
Yeah.
And that Detroit team's been so good for so long.
Yeah. He did leave a mess to clean up, though.
Yeah.
There are some things that Stevie Y is going to have to deal with. Abdelkader's getting paid too much. Stevie Y is going to have to figure out what to do with him. Mm-hmm. He's getting older too, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's just development and drafting. At least they got some pieces in there. He didn't inherit as big of a mess as some other GMs who've moved in have inherited. And Stevie Y is just so smart. And who doesn't want to – Steve Yzerman calls you up and goes, hi, you want to play for my team? Who doesn't answer that fucking phone call and goes, yes, I would like to play for you, one of the greatest players of all time, a personal favorite of mine?
Maybe Martin St. Louis wouldn't.
Yeah, Martin St. Louis.
So Ken Holland has to go to Edmonton and clean up that mess. But, I mean, he's got a good start.
Does he
Connor
really,
McDavid.
Though? Well, yeah, he's got Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, but, I think they're, fourth as far as team spending in the NHL goes. They got some huge, huge problems that are just looming. Your fucking Milan Lucic contract that he's still got 4 more years at $6 million.
Is that worse? That is worse than Louis Erickson's contract. He's got 4 years. Louis's only got 3.
Well, the thing is he is 4. Louis's got 3. And then
there is a contract worse than Louis Erickson out there.
Yeah. Well, there's a few, actually, really. If you look around the league, there's a few contracts that are worse than Louis Erickson out there. The biggest problem for Holland with this Lucic contract is Lucic is going to be protected when Seattle comes in for expansion, right? Erickson, at least, his contract changes to a point where the Canucks could possibly trade him to get him out of here before Seattle comes in. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing. But, here's my take on this is, I mean, guys have no movement clause, guys have no trade clauses, but we always hear about GMs and people talking players into waiving these types of things so they can go somewhere else. Mm. So just because your contract says it and it's somewhat set in stone, it doesn't mean that these trades or movements can't happen. They still can. But the power is all on the player, right? Yeah. But yeah, Holland's got 4 years of Lucic at $6 million. And then he's got Andre Sekera, who's been a completely overpaid Band-Aid for that team, who they got in free agency after he left LA. And he's got 5.5 2 years at $5.5 million with a modified no-trade clause. So the both of those are tough.
Hey, you know? I have no problem with Edmonton being crappy, okay? I really don't. I really, really, really don't.
So let me pose this question to you, because I've been thinking about it for a while, and this kind of goes back to talking about players and their no-trade clauses and everything like that. Like we said, Lucic has four. Louis Eriksson has three.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the Canucks, would you trade Louis for Lucic, take that extra year, if Edmonton was like, okay, we'll make this trade for you and we'll give you our eighth pick in the first round and you take the 10. Would you make that trade? Or do you think it's too much of a wash with potential of players?
I think it's too much. And we talk about potential and we talk about draft picks as potential, right? And this is, yeah, unless you're really sure, like, that's the player that you want at eight. No, I wouldn't.
I think that might be on the table at the draft if there is a player that the Canucks really, really want.
Do you think Lucic would fit in Vancouver right now?
I think he'd be better in Vancouver than he is in fucking Edmonton.
Yeah.
And I think Louis would probably be better in Edmonton than he is in...
Well, he can't get any worse.
Yeah. I mean, Louis sucks. But, like, I just feel like Lucic would probably be a little bit better here. I honestly think Jeremy Roenick brought this up early in the season when the Oilers were just dog shit. And he's like, one of the reasons why the Oilers are dog shit is because nobody can keep up with the pace of how fast Connor McDavid plays.
Yeah.
Like his not just his skating, but his playmaking ability and everything else. He thinks the game at such an elite level that, like, some players just can't fucking be on the wing with him because they can't figure him out. Right? And maybe Lucic is one of those guys.
Well, we know he's not fast enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with those two jabronis, Lucic and Louis.
But you wouldn't is what you're
saying.
Well,
Louis, even though Louis Eriksson cannot be on this team next year. We've talked about this.
Yeah. And I don't think I probably would either because of the Seattle expansion,
and it's just,
even if they figured out a way to get around.
And it's just two picks. I mean, like,
yeah, it's just moving up too.
Is Byron Boehm, if he's there at eight, would you make the trade then?
Bowen Byram?
Yeah.
He's not going to be there at eight. So this is just...
Right?
He's not. He won't be there at eight.
He's the top defenseman. If he was still there at eight, maybe that would be the only way to do it, right? Right in that moment.
Yeah.
And that's probably not going to happen, so... Yeah, I've always said this about the draft. Like, it's a crapshoot for me. I just hope and pray.
I just look at two teams that need a winger, right? Edmonton needs a winger. We need a winger. And if you are able to switch there, maybe there's something there. That's kind of why I just brought it up.
Yeah. They're both fucking albatrosses. It's
Yeah.
Yeah. So for that 1 year, two, nah, probably not. I would say not. And you think not either.
Yeah.
Staying with Edmonton there, Craig McTavish giving the boot.
Well, this is interesting, right? Because this news comes out today, and he signed a 2-year deal over in the KHL to play with HC Lokomotiv.
Well,
right?
Ken Holland was obviously like, "We're not having the old boys club here anymore."
That's right? What you think?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is.
He's had enough of the red wine summits, right?
Yeah,
I feel the same way.
It's not the '80s anymore.
You know, Craig McTavish in that organization. How many chances? Like, how many lives? He has had more lives than a cat in that fucking organization.
And he's never worn a helmet.
Yeah. But seriously, like, you know, he's been everything from coach to, like, head player scout to, I think, maybe not president, but up there.
He's done everything in there,
and he's always lingered around. And it's kind of interesting to see Ken Holland just come in, and then, like, two, three days later, you hear, Greg McTavish is over in the KHL. Yeah. It's time to go.
Yeah.
I wonder how many other heads we're going to see roll in that Edmonton organization.
Yeah. I think it's probably what their fans want too.
It's long overdue.
Yeah,
and it does kind of suck because I love watching them squirm and be shitty, like you said earlier.
Yeah, I like it. Who's their hockey operations? What's his face again? The former Team Canada president. What's his name?
Oh fuck.
Oh, that's bad. Someone's gonna be screaming at it.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's still there. He's part of that whole.
It's not Kevin Lowe, is it?
No, not Kevin Lowe. No, he's long gone. Thankfully for them. Yeah. I'm going to have it stuck in my head somewhere. But anyway, yeah, let's just hope that the Oilers are shitty for just a little bit longer, right? Right?
Yeah.
When they have to, like, trade Connor McDavid.
Oh, fucking Ralph Kruger got hired by Buffalo, too, eh?
Oh, that happened this week?
Yeah.
I've been out of it this week. I've been doing the early morning shift.
I really like Ralph Krueger, even though he's got a soccer background. I think he knows what he's doing, and I think he knows how to motivate people. He's a pretty intelligent dude. Like, when you listen to him talk, you're like, yeah, this guy knows, like, the psychology behind coaching, you know, even though he doesn't necessarily come from a hockey background. So I think that's a good move by Buffalo.
Buffalo's got a lot of talent there.
Yeah.
They do.
Well, how many years have we been saying that for now?
It's true. But, like, Jack Eichel is, like, he's elite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They've got a good team in there. Ristolainen and
yeah, it sounds like
Dahlin.
He's staying now too.
And Dahlin, like those Ristolainen and Dahlin, they're some pretty fucking good players there.
Yeah,
even though and Jeff Skinner had a nice year there.
Well, fuck, like they were like first for how long this last season, and then they just completely free fell and fell apart. And
yeah,
you know, that's half the reason why Ralph Krueger's there now, to try and sort that mess out.
Other things going on in hockey this week. The Memorial Cup starts this week, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and the out of the WHL, the Prince Albert Raiders making it, defeating the Vancouver Giants. Game 7. Prince Albert had a 3-1 series lead.
Yeah.
And they blew it. They blew that lead.
Yeah.
And the Giants actually had a chance.
Yeah. Because your boy, your highly touted goalie that you were so hard for when he came over here for the World Championship.
That was pretty hard.
You were
bro.
Saying, oh, yeah, he's the best goalie in Canada.
Well, he did win I think he won the WHL's MVP. I think
Didn't deserve it at all.
He won the MVP of the playoffs, too, actually.
Yeah, he didn't deserve it. He did not deserve that fucking playoff MVP. That's just some muffin in the WHL saying yes. How do you give a goalie the MVP when they blow it three times to force a game 7? Really? And in that game, like, Prince Albert outshot the shit out of Victoria, like 40-26. Tendek for the Giants was standing on his head. And they give it to Ian Scott.
Yeah, Ian Scott.
It's a joke. It is. Noah Gregor's the MVP for that team.
Right.
For the Raiders.
Or maybe Dante Hanoun.
Well, Dante Hanoun scores the game winner. Both former Royals, by the way.
Former Victoria Royals.
So you got that hate on the straight rivalry going with those guys, because those guys have seen Vancouver more than anybody.
Ian Scott.
And then they get
goaltending prospect
Scott
for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad they got him. I don't think he's going to do much. You know what? To be honest, Ian Scott and, Canucks fans aren't going to like this take, but Michael DiPietro, I'd probably look at moving him over Markey and Demko.
Right. Have you watched any of the World Championships this year with Demko and Gat for the Americans? I was watching a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was looking all right.
I think Demko's the future. Yeah. I think DiPietro, I think he's still a ways off, and I don't know if he'll ever make it.
Yeah. Is it because of his size?
Well, it's just like they always tout him as like an athletic goalie, but like there's things that he does that makes me wonder if he's ever going to make that jump.
He wins at every level.
Part of that is to do with his size. Yeah. But, I mean, you watch guys who are elite shooters and elite scorers in junior leagues and in college, and then they get up to the NHL and they can't jar one to save their life because the goalies up here are that fucking good.
Yeah.
You know? And I think and that's why everybody talks about when goalies make the jump from those leagues, they need a lot of seasoning in the A to even get used to that type of skill and those types of shots. Because it's not just about how hard you can rifle it. It's about how well you can disguise it. You know, how good you can disguise your release, set up through screens, even like your release point on your shot, further back, more up, you know, like all that type of stuff. James Neal was a guy who really pointed that out. He was saying his time on the Stars was like one of his best times in the NHL because Brad Richards was a guy who like mentored him and taught him how to shoot properly, you know, because he said when he came into the league, all he was trying to do was shoot through goalies. And he's like, these goalies are just way too good.
Yeah.
So I wonder about both of these Canadian top prospect goalies in DiPietro and Scott.
You heard it here first. Caleb Kirby wants Mikey DiPietro out of town.
Well, I just think the Canucks could get something for him. And we're at a point right now where we're looking okay, you know, with Markey and with Demko.
Trade him to Carolina for Foegele.
Oh. Art.
Right?
Oh.
Right?
I don't mind that.
Right?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. Well, that's pretty much all I had, Curb. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about in hockey? Game of Thrones finale this weekend?
Yeah. Yeah, what a heel turn that was, eh?
Oh, wow. We talked about it a little bit today on the Geek Out podcast, but I compared it to, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin
yeah.
after The Rock.
It, you know, it was
against
just
The Rock and WrestleMania, whatever that was.
17.
17,
It
yeah.
was just a total, like, fucking wrestling heel turn, I thought, when I watched it. I even thought that when I was watching it.
Yeah. This you is know? Like, you know, this is Kevin Durant going to Golden State. This is Anakin Skywalker yeah. as Darth Vader. Like, this that's the heel turn that we got here.
How many people are turning this podcast off as soon as we started talking about
Game
this?
Of Thrones? Oh, spoiler alert. I guess we didn't even give a spoiler alert.
Oh,
there.
Whatever. If you haven't watched it by now, you're not a fan of this show. But anyway, yeah, I thought it was a little too quick, you know, like she's killing innocence now.
Yeah.
But it was
compelling TV.
Hey. I'm still on board.
Yeah.
I'm not hating the show. I'm not one of those 500,000 jackasses that
more than that
petitioned
now.
For a redo of season 8. Like, yeah. get over yourself.
I know. It's ridiculous.
How entitled are you?
Yeah.
You know?
It's really...
Anyways.
Let's petition to have, you know, Christmas holidays be a week longer because we want that, right?
Yeah.
Come on. I loved that. I loved the turn as well. And I think that... there's only one thing I want from this final episode. That's what I said today. Only one thing.
Let's hear it.
Jon Snow versus Grey Worm. That's what I want.
Oh, interesting.
Head to head. Jon Snow cuts off Grey Worm's
head. I think
he'd
dummy Grey Worm.
You think so?
Yeah, 100%. But
really?
like the thing about Snow this season, he's been
useless.
He's been a useless tit all season. Yeah.
He has been.
Like, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I would have liked to have seen Cersei die the way the Mountain did. You know, I would if the click. Okay, we gotta stop Clangin this.
Bowl?
But if that Clegane Bowl happened in the dungeon, you know, and they went at it, and Cersei and Jaime were up on the tower, and Cersei goes over into the fire, and Jaime goes with her, maybe with a knife in her back or something like that. That would have been my like stand up and yeah moment. But I'm still fine with it. I'm good.
I'm hearing people saying maybe she's not dead. Yeah, I think she's fucking dead.
I think they're both dead.
Yeah. I think they're dead. And we had like a pool of like who would kill people and shit like that. I like to see if someone would like put a pile of rocks would kill Cersei. The Red Keep.
Okay, let's wrap it up.
All right. Well, if you didn't already realize, we're out of material. Caleb Curry, where can we find you?
You can find me at Curbman23 on Twitter.
You can email us where?
At betweenthestammers@gmail.com.
You can find me at Art Aronson on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. All right. Thanks for listening.